Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode.
Hello there. I'm your host, Hunter Haley. Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast. I'm excited today to start this new series that I'm working on. I've had a lot of people ask me about giving over the years, giving from, you know, just generally, you know, why do we give? How do we give? Things like that. Practical things like, hey, I'm a business owner. How do I give? Or I just sold my house or got an inheritance or some kind of off the wall situation. How do I give based on that? And just in general, you know, like, hey, how do I approach this? What is some practical and biblical theological tips on how to understand giving of my finances to the kingdom of God? And so this has been a topic that's obviously touches every Christian's life because we are all called to give. And so I wanted to start a series on this. You can't cover everything in one episode. So I'm going to start a new series on the topic of giving. And so today, I'm going to start with the heart of giving. But my goal over the next couple sessions and episodes is to talk about the heart of giving. You know, why do we give? How do we give? Some of the things like that from the spirit of giving in our heart. But then also some practical tips and suggestions and like, hey, here's some practical wisdom. You want to, you know, use wisdom with this and you want to do it correctly. And there's a lot of nuances to that I've seen and experienced both myself and with helping others navigate some of this. So I'm going to talk about a little bit of that, but then also there's pitfalls to avoid. You know, there's when you start looking into giving, there's a lot of reasons that you want to make sure that you're not becoming, you know, like a Pharisee where you're giving to be seen, you know, what you're giving, or you give, but then you're begrudging it, or like you've set yourself up for failure because like you are always paranoid about what you're giving and am I giving enough or should I just give it all? Or you put yourself in a financial negative situation because out of a desire to do the right thing, you basically gave more than was practical, if that makes sense. And so there's some pitfalls to avoid. Even if a well-meaning person, you can fall into some different traps. But then also there is a blessing that comes from giving. And maybe we can share some of the different stories and examples and biblical examples and other people's examples and different scenarios where and how God blesses through our giving. And so anyway, so today we're going to talk about the heart of giving. So that kind of try to set up the series, so to speak. And I don't know exactly how many episodes it's going to be at this point, but you definitely want to check back. And if you have questions or things that you would like for us to cover, different topics, things like that, feel free to go to theblessedbusiness.com. And on our website, you can actually see we have a contact page. And I have actually had people reach out to me and contact me. There's a little web form there where you can put in your name, email, and send me a message, things like that. And what you can do is send us a message and say, hey, I have a question about this, or hey, can you share my story anonymously? Here's, you know, kind of what we did, and here's the testimony we got from it. Or even if you want to share a particular scenario that you're like looking at, hey, I had this happen, how do I navigate this? Obviously, consult with your pastor, your leadership, things like that. What they say takes precedence over what just me with a microphone on a podcast is saying, because obviously you have to be submitted to your leadership. But we're just going to talk about practical wisdom and things that we've seen and been able to experience for ourselves. So all that being said, let's start off into the heart of giving. So let's start with why do we give? So there's a number of reasons, and I probably haven't covered them all here, but I just was thinking about this morning and just kind of sat down instead of jotting some ideas down. So I'm going to kind of work through this list. This isn't necessarily all-inclusive, but this is just some just high-level points, and maybe we'll deep dive into some of these later. But these are some of the high-level points of why we give. Number one is because it's obedience. We give out of obedience to the command of God. In God's word, we see over and over again, and we'll explore this again deeper in different episodes, that tithing is commanded. The Levites were commanded to tithe and to give offering. It was something that Abraham did, that Jacob did. There's many examples where tithing and offering was given as, hey, this is something that you need to do. This is a command, right? Especially you get into the book of Malachi, and it says, how can man, rob God? And it says, because you've basically stopped giving your tithes and your offering. And so there is a direct biblical command related to giving, and especially when it comes to tithing. And so we'll talk about that again more in depth. But that's one of the reasons we give, is through obedience. But this is a lot more than just saying, God told me to give my tithes, or my preacher says I have to give my tithes, and so I guess I got to give my 10%, right? That it's so much more than that. But there is an element of obedience. And really the reason why, and again, we'll dive into all the scriptural reasons and we can pull out all of that at a different time, but the reason why is that there's obedience factor is because if you can't subjugate your finances to the will of God and to the man of God in your life, how are you going to be able to sit under him and let him guide your soul towards salvation? And so there's an element of this that is, God knows as human beings, we struggle to relinquish control. And sometimes we struggle with obedience and submitting ourselves to somebody else. And so that is a big part of it, is not, God doesn't need your money, so to speak. He can turn, rocks into gold nuggets if he needs to. But so don't think that this is just because God needs my money, so I got to give it, or, whatever. No, and God's not trying to punish you. He's trying to show you how to exercise obedience in a very practical way on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. So day in and day out, you're practically applying the principle of obedience. And that's actually a beautiful thing. God, when we start getting through why we give here, God is using it as a direct tool that touches everyone to be able to put some of the most important biblical principles that he can into our lives and give us a practical way to practice it every day. Because if you can be obedient in your giving, in your tithes, and in your offering, you'll probably be more likely to be obedient in other areas of serving and worshiping God as well. Another reason why we give is stewardship. Now, stewardship is basically the acknowledgement that, hey, I need to manage my money wisely. I need to be a wise steward. I've been giving these resources, and I need to make sure that I'm handling them correctly. We're stewarding what we have. And the reason why is this, and a lot of people don't think about it like this, but the reason God instituted tithing to his people and giving offerings and stuff like that was because it teaches us to watch our finances and give an accurate account so that we know how to pay tithes. Someone before they pay tithes, they're like, well, I think I'll just give kind of whatever. Well, that's all good and fine, but that same person probably is not well disciplined with a budget. They probably don't know exactly how much money's coming in and how much money's going out. They're probably just spending and doing and not being very on top of their finances. But when you're like, hey, I'm responsible for paying 10% or giving 10% of my income, my increase. It's not just revenue. We'll talk about that in the practical giving tips. It's not just revenue, but it's actual increase. A tithe is 10% of your increase, right? So if you're trying to look at that, you pay a lot closer attention to your finances when you're writing the check for 10% of that to the church. And so, so there's a beautiful benefit in that, because tithing, it teaches us obedience, but it also teaches us stewardship to where we can manage and review our finances and keep up with them in a way that is a lot more refined. And there is a benefit. If that was the only benefit, there would still be a benefit to being a better financial manager, because it forces you to pay attention to your finances. And so there's a benefit to that. So that's another reason why we give, and I believe one of the reasons why God instituted this. The third reason, and this ties into that very closely, is lordship, the concept of lordship, where God is Lord over everything. And again, there's so many scriptures that talk about this, about how God owns everything, right? And that we are, everything that we have is simply things that God has blessed us with and allowed us to manage and to steward. The reason we're a steward is because he's the Lord of over everything, and he's assigned a portion of what he owns for us to manage as stewards. And so this concept of lordship is when we give our tithe and our offering back to him, especially the tithe, it's an active way to acknowledge God as our source, and that he is the owner of everything, and demonstrate that he is Lord over our life. We're under submission to him. We're submitted to his will, his way, his plan, right? And so that is a huge part of it. But then also there's an element of faith. So this is where, you know, you put, what is the saying? Faith is belief in action, right? I remember the story of, and I've told it on this podcast several times, I forgot his name, but anyway, basically there was a special person who was very good at tightrope walking, and they strung a tightrope across the, I think it was Niagara Falls, and he said, did all kinds of tricks. He would walk across it, and he would like take different items out there. I think he went out there and actually cooked a meal out there balancing on this, and he had like a little camp stove. And it was just unbelievable, the acts he was doing. And finally, he came by with a wheelbarrow one day, and he took a load of potatoes or something like that, or rocks or something, and he wheeled it across this tightrope, across the chasm and back. And the crowd was just cheering or whatever, just amazed at what he did. And he turns to him and says, you know, do y'all believe that I could carry a man in this wheelbarrow across and back? And everyone's like, yeah, we believe. And so he turns to this big brawny fellow right up front. He's like, do you believe? He's like, oh yeah, I believe. And then he's like, all right, jump in. And the guy's like, wait, what, me? No. I mean, I believe, but like, and then that moment, his belief was tested, and he claimed to believe, but really belief stopped when he was given the opportunity. His belief stopped at the point he was given the opportunity to exercise it and put it into action. And that's where faith takes over. So faith is taking our belief and putting it into action and saying, okay, God, I'm not just saying that I believe that you're able to provide for me. I'm not just saying that you're the Lord over my life. I'm not just acknowledging that it's in your word, but I'm going to put my belief in action, and that's going to be my faith being demonstrated by doing this. And the other part of that too is that when we open our hand, giving is about having an open hand mentality, where when we have an open hand and there's a faith that says, hey, I know when I have my hand open, some of it can escape, right? Or you may ask for me to give some of this, but it also has faith that God is the source and that he will provide by putting back into our hand. And so there's a huge element of faith that is involved in this, right? So obedience, stewardship, lordship, and faith. But also giving is an act of worship. There's a scripture of Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. With the first fruit. And this is why we tithe off of the first fruits, off the top. And it's on all of our increase. And again, we'll dive more into that in the practical giving side of this. But again, just getting the concept here is that giving is an act of worship. It's a way that we honor the Lord God who has given us all of these resources. And there's a number of different scriptures that kind of indicate this, because I think in Deuteronomy 26:10, it talks about, and kind of taking parts of this here, it says, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. So giving was designed to usher you into the presence of God, to be an act of worship, to be something that you did. Even Adam and Eve and their sons, when they brought a sacrifice, right? It was obviously there was salvific, you know, implications. There was, you know, they were doing that as part of that, but they were also giving back to God as a sign of worship when they sacrificed on an altar, which is kind of what tithing offering, kind of, there's an element of it that pulls from that, right? That we're laying this down, we're sacrificing, we're giving this back, right? But so giving was not designed to be a bill that you pay, right? But it was designed to be an act of worship that demonstrates your faith, your belief in the lordship of God, and demonstrate stewardship and obedience, right? So this kind of culminates in this worship, right? That I'm doing this as an act of worship, not just a bill that I have to pay, right? And that leads into the heart of why you're doing it and how you're doing it, because the Bible also talks about in other places that God loves a cheerful giver. Well, if you view this as a debt or a bill to pay or an obligation that is has, you know, negative consequences if you don't, if you're like paranoid, and I'll talk about the giving stereotypes in another episode. I've got a number of different ones of, like, I've been them myself and observed this in other people, like different stereotypes of, like, the different types of people, the sporadic giver, the guilty giver, the paranoid giver, the begrudging giver, all these things. And so this is where a lot of people get off kilter with this, is because they don't understand it as an act of worship. If you look at when you come to church and they say, hey, let's raise our hands, or let's clap our hands, or let's sing this song or whatever, if you're like, oh man, I have to raise my hands again, this is an obligation, or like, if I don't raise my hands, I'm going to be struck dead by God, you know, I'm going to get struck by lightning. Well, both of those are extremes, you know, and not healthy. Worship is something that we do out of the abundance of our heart in a joy and a love for God. It's something that we do cheerfully. It's something that is like, oh, I get to worship God. I get to express my love, my adoration, my respect for God in this way, right? And so giving is an outlet for that. It's an outflow of a worshiper's heart, right? It's just a tangible way that we do that. Another element of giving is generosity. So we give for generosity's sake. And here's what's interesting about this, is it's not just so that we can be generous, so to speak, or it's not a forced way that, hey, you have to be generous. But it's really, I mean, think about it. Generosity is ingrained in the character of who God is. I mean, he didn't just make in the Garden of Eden, he didn't just make food trees, right? And they were all, every tree was gray and bland, and like every fruit was tasting the same. No, he added diversity. He had trees that were just flowering just for beauty, which was art and things like that. And so he gave mankind a wonderful, perfectly crafted environment. And the Bible illustrates over and over again, we'll talk about this when we get into more of the blessings that come from this, but God stores up blessings for his people, and he's looking for ways to bless and to give to his people. He desires to give good gifts to his children, is one of the scriptures talk about. And so there is a generosity. I mean, he died on the cross of Calvary for us, right? Even when we were yet sinners. And so there is a huge element of God's character and identity that is tied up in generosity. Well, what we are created in the image of God, and we are designed to demonstrate that to a fallen and corrupt world. And so when we give at a generosity, both in our tithes and in our offering, and that's really where generosity is really expressed, is when we go above and beyond the tithe, what is commanded, right? And we give in offerings above and beyond, and to our church, and to, and even in other ways, you know, giving to widows in need and other different biblically, you know, based concepts for giving even above and beyond just tithes and offerings to the church, right? And we give to missions, things like that. And so there, you're exercising one of the attributes of God that you were created in the image of. And so when you think about it like that, it becomes a totally different perspective of not this mandated generosity. No, this is a way for you to exercise that and demonstrate to a fallen world how you're different. It helps you to stand out, because when a sinner looks at you and says, you give 10% or maybe 15%, or maybe 20% of your offering, of your entire income to the kingdom of God and to things that, you know, are benefiting others and stuff like that. Like, why? It stands out because our fallen nature is very selfish. It's very self-serving. It's very self-oriented, right? And so we're like, mine, give, you know, I'm going to hoard, right? Whereas when we demonstrate generosity in our finances, we give to the kingdom of God, we give to others, we give to the church, we give to missions. When we are a generous and giving person, it stands out. And it becomes a testimony to those around us. They're like, well, I mean, if they're giving at that level, it challenges sinners and other people to say, wow, there is something inside of them that makes them do that, that like, I'm curious about. Like, I want to learn more about this. And the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver, right? When you're generous and happy to do it, right? It makes a big difference. And people are like, you do that because you want to, you know, you give offerings above and beyond tithes because you want to. And the beauty of it is, though, once you start embracing that, it unlocks something, because generosity and giving is one of the most, I think it is Dave Ramsey who said this, or someone said this. I think it was Dave Ramsey. He said, giving is some of the most fun you'll ever have with money. And think about it like this. If you have a child or children, and let's say you're giving them gifts at a birthday or Christmas or a special occasion or whatever, right? And so you're giving them gifts and you see their face light up, right? And you're like, yeah, that I was able to do that for them. My generosity and my giving them gifts was an avenue, a conduit for them experiencing joy and happiness and exhilaration, right? And when you see that, even though you didn't receive that toy or you didn't receive that bicycle or that gift or whatever, it makes you feel good inside. And again, just like we were talking about with the stewardship and obedience and all these other principles, God is giving us an outlet to experience the benefits of generosity. When you give to a missions group, or you give to an orphanage or a school overseas, or you give to your local church, and we're able to, you know, do great things and see people experience the power of God and, you know, things like this. When you understand what's happening with what you're giving, you get to enjoy your giving in a huge way that's in a totally different level. The generosity of your heart starts to just bubble over with, you know, joy and happiness, and it makes you a better person. Because when you're selfish, self-centered, self-focused, you become very stagnant and very toxic. And when it's all about me, you're a very bitter and generally sad and sometimes even depressed person. But when you start looking outside of yourself, generosity and giving forces you to look to the happiness and blessing of others, right? And so when you start looking away from yourself and what can I capture and hold on to, and instead it's like, how can I be a conduit to be generous to others? It transforms your entire life. It transforms your perspective, and you will experience joy and happiness at a deeper level than you ever have before when you get a revelation of this. And that's why God instituted giving. And this is a part of it, is so that you could have a regular and tangible way to experience generosity. But then this is the starting point. Giving, tithes, and offering is the starting point. But it's like to teach you the principle and to get the experience of like, wow, that felt pretty good, you know, so that you can then spill over and be generous in other ways. So then, and this is where we talk about business as mission, and in all of the aspects of your business, your finances, your career, you start to demonstrate generosity because you learned it in the principle of giving of your tithes and your offering. And so when you go to tip at the waiter at the restaurant, you give that tip and you're generous. I was at a restaurant last night and I was paying for a whole group of people, and which God has blessed me to be able to do. It was a whole group of people, and I was able to do that. And the service was really lackluster, really, to be honest with you. But I still gave a 20% tip on that pretty significant meal. And I didn't get to see the lady's reaction when she got the tip at the end of the day, but I know she had a long, hard day, and we were literally the last customers that left. the restaurant that evening. And I'm sure when she counts down her tips and she gets that last one, it's going to perk her face up a little bit. And so even though I didn't tip based on how good the service was, I tipped based on my ability to be generous to her and to demonstrate my willingness to give to her, even though she didn't step up and go above and beyond to earn it or deserve it. Because generosity is not just merit-based. Because again, God didn't get up on the cross and die for us because we deserved it. You see what I'm saying? And so God demonstrates altruistic generosity, where even though we don't deserve it, we could never earn it or repay it, he still gives it anyway. And when you grab a hold of that, and it first, takes root in our tithing and our offering and giving in those ways. But once you grab a hold of it, you start demonstrating in other ways. That now becomes a way I'm testifying of the goodness of God in the marketplace to that waiter. Or if I'm being generous with someone who's, by demonstrating grace to someone who broke something I had, or an employee that fell short, or we missed a deadline or something like that, instead of just yelling at them or screaming at them or saying, well, you're just going to come out of your paycheck or something like that. Instead say, hey, look, mistakes happen. We're going to learn from this and move forward. I just showed them grace that they didn't earn. That was generosity. But again, my generosity goes back to me learning how to exercise that in tithing and offering and building on this rapport of this base of knowledge where, hey, in my human experience, when I'm generous to others, I feel good. And then it transcends financial matters, and it starts to transcend into other areas of your life because you've mastered the principle. So again, and this is when you get into the heart of giving and like why God instituted it, it's so much more for our benefit than we even realize, because it unlocks all of these things. And so kind of wrapping up here, another area that, of why we give and the reason God instituted this is because it opens a channel for blessings, because God is only going to bless us to the extent that we can handle it. Okay. So when we have a very small capacity to handle blessing, then we're going to get blessed financially and in other ways in a marginal way. Because if you think about it, if God blesses you and you just hoard it up, right? And you're like, I'm just going to save this for myself. I got this big bonus and I'm just going to hoard it and I'm going to save it. There's no benefit in that. There's money is created and it's a resource. It's a tool, right? It's not something to be hoarded. It's kind of like, I remember when I was younger, I can't remember if it was rollerblades or something. It was something that I had as a kid and I didn't want it to get messed up. It was so nice. It was so new, but I didn't want to ride them on the concrete outside because it would mess up the wheels. It would start damaging them. If I fell and I scuffed it, then it wouldn't be perfect again. So I waited so long to really start using them that I outgrew them. And it was like, oh man, now I have no benefit of it because I hoarded that new thing, that new toy or that new item, because I didn't want it to get scuffed or damaged. I wanted to preserve its initial state. So I was afraid to get out there and exercise it, to use it, to play with it, whatever, right? But because of my lack of willingness to be able to embrace the fact that, hey, it's going to get some scuffs and bruises. It's going to damage. It's going to eventually be wore completely out. Because I was trying to hoard the blessing, I ended up not getting hardly any benefit at all, right? And so the same thing happens in our finances. When we just hoard it up for ourselves, it doesn't do us any good. God blesses us so that we can give and experience generosity and facilitate the kingdom of God, but it's also so that we can live, so that we can enjoy. And when there's a flow where we don't spend every dime we have to, practically speaking, we have to save, we have to invest, we have to prepare for a rainy day, things like that. So there is wisdom in that, but it's, our resources are not designed for hoarding. God gave us an abundance of resources. When the environment, the Garden of Eden, they didn't have to worry about a food shortage, right? Everything was designed to sustain them. And so part of giving is going back to that understanding that I am able to use this. And again, going back to the Lordship and that He is the source of everything, I'm able to use this and enjoy this and give this and all these things. I'm able to deploy these resources because this is not all the resources I will ever have. And when you do that, when you embrace that abundance mentality, there is it opens up a channel of blessing into your life where, okay, now you have an open hand mentality where God says, okay, I can funnel blessings through you to the kingdom. So if there's a need for a missionary or for your church or for a special project or something like that, and it's like, okay, we need an extra $500 for this. Well, when God looks at all the saints in the church and all the different potential avenues to facilitate this need, because God uses tangible means to facilitate supernatural endeavors. So what he'll do is he'll say, okay, so we got Jimmy over here and Sally over here and this person over here. Well, this person over here, man, every time I bless them with a raise or I give them a little extra, they just hoard it and then they're afraid they're going to lose it. So the more I give them, the more stress they have, the more money, more problems, you know? So it's like, if I bless them, man, I would love to, but like it's just going to cause them more stress, right? And they're not going to facilitate the need that I need. So, okay, well, this person over here, well, they give, but they only give just a little bit here and there and sporadically and stuff like that. So but this person over here, they're a consistent, faithful giver. They give based on percentage and as God leads on their heart and stuff like that. And they're a wise steward of their money. So I know they're going to manage it well. So why don't I give them $1,000 blessing? And then I know they're going to give, you know, this extra bonus that it's already in their heart. They want to be able to give to that $500 need that they see. So if I bless them with $1,000 or $2,000, you know what? They're going to give to that need and they're going to take care of it. And so I'm not God, but if, you know, if you look at how the nature of God, that's essentially how he's evaluating us. It's like, okay, what is a channel I can use to bless the kingdom of God? And the benefit to us is that, you know, it's kind of like a funnel. If you have ever poured oil through a funnel into a vehicle or something like that, and then it's almost impossible to get that funnel completely clean. I mean, you can rub on it, you can use paper towels, you can use everything, you can wash it. It takes a lot to get the residue off of it. And that's how the blessings of God is. It flows through us and it pays our bills and we give to the kingdom of God, but there's some of it that just sticks, the residue. And so when God uses you as a conduit of blessing, right, to facilitate the needs of the kingdom, then you actually get to retain some of those benefits and some of it sticks with you as we talk about. And we'll talk about that more in other episodes, I'm sure, but there is a blessing for the giver that comes along with this. And so this is a powerful concept that we give so that we can open up a channel of blessing that God can flow through us. And it's a blessing to the kingdom and it facilitates kingdom needs, but it also is an opportunity for God to bless us, and we have a real and tangible benefit of it. And then lastly, another reason we give is provision for the kingdom. And again, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but the kingdom of God requires resources and tangible money and finance and things like that to facilitate kingdom work. And so this is a biblical principle. This is just a normal way things work, is that if we're going to have church, someone's got to pay the light bill. Someone's got to pay for the church van so that it can run, you know what I mean? And pick up the children or to go, if Sunday school is going to have books and material, someone's got to pay for that, right? And so, and the ministry, the reason why we give is because it facilitates the ministry and supports those that are watching over our souls, as the Bible talks about. And so there is and again, we'll talk about this more, but it's not that God needs your money or the church needs your money. God's going to provide one way or the other. It's, do you want to be an avenue that God can use to facilitate that? If there's a need, do you want to be in alignment to that God can flow it through you? Can you be a conduit of provision for the kingdom? And if so, you're incentivizing God to bless you. But if you're hoarding your money, if you're not a wise steward of your money, you're not paying very much attention to it, if you're the sporadic giver that we're going to talk about in a little bit, where you're not super reliable on this, you're not giving God a lot of incentive to send blessing your way so that you can be a conduit of blessing, right? And so We give to provide for kingdom needs because that's God's plan. His plan for providing for kingdom needs and the church and the ministry, your pastor, missionaries, evangelists, different things, his plan for providing for their needs is blessing you with more than enough to be able to supply the need, to pay your own bills and to have a good life, but also to have more than enough to be able to give to others and supply the need that the kingdom hath need of. And we'll talk about this more in other episodes. I've got to kind of wrap up for today, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. But I wanted to talk about the heart of giving and what it does for us from the perspective that it's not just a mandate. It's not just a requirement. It's not just something where we have to pay God, right? This instead is an opportunity for us to demonstrate our obedience to God, to understand and become better and wiser stewards of our resources. And there's a benefit beyond just managing money and being a wise steward has many financial benefits beyond just being able to give accurately, right? And then lordship, it activates something where we identify that God is our source and that we are submitting our lives to Him and to His kingdom and His ways, right? But then also, it's a way we can exercise faith, put our belief in action, and prove to God that we actually believe His word is true and that, again, if we give this, He is going to give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and that I'm not giving to get, but at the same time, I give because I know He is faithful and just to reward us and to make sure that all of our needs are provided. And He's already done so much for us. He already has given us more than we could ever repay. But then also worship. This is an act of worship, honoring God, and it's something that we can do to usher in His presence and demonstrate generosity and be a blessing and become a conduit for a blessing in the kingdom of God and provide for kingdom needs. So anyway, hope that kind of wraps it up for you today. And we'll, again, deep dive into different specific avenues of this and different aspects. And so be sure to tune in to the future episodes of this and share this episode with someone you think that could benefit from this. God bless you, and I hope you have a great day.
This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.